It's cool sounds in the backgrounds, and these ones are coming through from Elaine. It's You Are the One on UJFM 95.4 on the Urban Brunch with you all the way from 9 to 12 noon. 35 after 10, we are still talking to Andy Swakona on the line with us, talking to us about, you know, her experience of gender-based violence, her life right now, and what she's her future plans are, and you know what, how her healing process rather has been. She's still on the line, and we kind of lost her before we went into news. I think it was the line, but she's still back. And Andy, so I was asking you, Uzi, but by the time he had attacked you at that time that you were with him, was it the first attack? Was it the first time that he had attacked you? Was it the first time that he had hit you, or was it not the first time?
It was the first time, so I never expected it. That's why it was a bit shocking for me. But the sign, I did see a sign that he did have a little bit of anger in him, but I ignored it and just decided to move forward with the relationship. But it was definitely the first time that he did what he did to me.
And who was the first person you told or that you opened up to about this? I mean, after you experienced it, how did you get yourself out of that relationship and ensure that, you know what, that guy was not a part of your life anymore and that he was not making you feel the way he was making you feel?
The first person I told was actually him the next day. I told him that whatever happened the previous night, it didn't feel right. It wasn't what it was supposed to be. And then I told a couple of my friends, and I told one of my other guy friends. He immediately said, "Andiswa, report this." But when it's intimate partner rape, it's difficult to come to that decision because at that moment your mind is just racing. You are going through a lot, and you're trying to navigate and understand the situation. So it was a really difficult time for me because it took me about 2 months or 3 months to admit to myself that what happened actually happened. So it wasn't easy to just move on because of what happened. Yeah, it wasn't easy. Yeah.
And for someone that right now is going through gender-based violence, what would you say to them, especially if they don't know how to come out of it or who to run to or what to say, you know, because, I mean, you are also saying it took you about 2 to 3 months for you to actually just admit to yourself. And I can imagine all the emotions that you had to go through to actually get to that decision where you had to admit that, yes, I love this person, but this person actually did something to me that I'm not really comfortable with, that I was not comfortable with, and I don't appreciate. So for someone that's going through gender-based violence right now, especially, you know, students, which with the statistics in our country, I mean, a lot of young people are being, are finding themselves in these situations and not knowing how or who to talk to. So what do you have to say to someone that's going through that right now?
I'll definitely tell that person to tell someone, even if it's a friend or a neighbor, or like for me, the person that I, one of the first people that I told, and he told me to report it, was my ex-boyfriend, you know, and he said, "Anita, you need to report this." So you need to tell someone, even like you need to say something to someone before you crash and just fall apart. You need to say something, even if it's a therapist, they've services on campus to help students, services such as FICAD. Just say something to someone. Don't keep it to yourself for too long, because it's sort of like suicide when you keep it to yourself.
That's absolutely, absolutely true. And I hope you, in your healing process right now, you're doing really well, and that you are more comfortable right now. I want to commend you firstly for agreeing to do this interview with us. It really shows that you know you're taking it a day at a time and allowing everything to fall into place, and also just fighting against gender-based violence as a whole. But with that said, what are some of the signs that people should look out for, especially people that are not being, you know, abused or finding themselves in gender-based violence? But I mean, if my fellow sister is being attacked, I'm indirectly also being attacked. So what are some of the signs that we have to look out for as a public? If someone is in an abusive relationship, what do you think are some of the signs that you will see from your friend or from your fellow sister, your fellow brother?
I think the main sign is sometimes you become withdrawn. Like, if you are someone, like for me, for instance, I like shopping, you know, I like relaxing and watching TV. So if someone suddenly stops doing the things that they like, that they really like, that they're passionate, you should really question and actually ask if everything is okay. So the main one is that they become withdrawn. I remember my mom used to say, I used to sometimes zone out. You know, I'll be sleeping with someone, laughing, and then the next thing I'm like elsewhere. So people just, like in a moment, when you're sitting with someone and you notice that they've grown out or they're becoming more withdrawn. Like if you notice that your friend, she likes going out and going out for lunches, you know, and suddenly she's not doing that, you really need to sit down and really find out what's happening, because there might be an issue there.
And, you know, with everything that our government has done, and looking also at the stats of gender-based violence, I mean, we have so many cases. And not just from like now, it's been a continuous cycle. We have different foundations. We have, I mean, the Unene case. And I mean, for someone like you, that you made it out, you survived, you're still here to tell the story. You're here to be the voice to the voiceless and actually help people that will find themselves in this situation. But what do you think are some of the things that, you know, a government at large, the communities at large, can do more to support, you know, gender-based violence victim and survivors, to ensure that they more open about their situation, that they firstly accept that, you know what, I was attacked or I was abused, but that doesn't define who I am right now or where I'm going. So what do you think the government, communities, individuals, people in relationships, because I think it also does hinder you being in your other relationships. It makes it a bit difficult probably for you to trust. So what can communities at large do to ensure that, you know, they still feel safe, they still feel accepted, and they still feel loved and the same?
I think on the government side, I think the first, when victims go to report such cases, they really need to take victims serious and not question if it's true or not, and just listen to them, because in some cases you are made to feel like what happened didn't really happen because it was someone you were dating, you know. So when it comes to like the police station, and sometimes after you go from the police station, they take you to the hospital to get you tested and all of that, you find that the environment is not safe, it's not conducive. So if the government can really work on training their staff to handle gender-based cases with much more care. And then when it comes to the community and individuals in general, I think we really need to listen to women when they say something happened, because people will always question if it really happened, because it was someone that you were dating, you know, someone that you're close to. You know, some people say, oh, you need to let it go. You can't tell someone to let something like this. You can't, that's not the best advice to tell someone, to say, let it go. So people need to listen more and be more sensitive about challenges and issues that women and other people experiencing gender-based violence are going through.
And as sisters and brothers of gender-based violence victims and survivors, what do you think we can do to ensure that victim and survivors, you know, talk to us, and when they especially are experiencing abusive relationships, or how do we create that environment where, you know what, Andiswa can easily just pick up her phone on the same night she was attacked and just call me and tell me that, Fifi, this just happened. I mean, like you just said, people like questioning things, especially if, I mean, I was in a relationship with Andiswa. People will question why Andiswa is saying Fifi did this to me, if we were dating. So how do we create that space where you can easily just come to me, call me if you have to call me, come to my place if you have to come to my place, and just tell me what's happening so we can deal with it, you know, instead of it, you know, haunting you, you know, you dealing with it on your own, and you don't even know who to start telling because you're scared, the anxiety of not knowing what to expect or what outcomes to expect.
I think as people, we need to educate ourselves about the different types of gender-based violence, because it comes in different forms in different contexts. So we need to educate ourselves so that if my sister comes, my friend comes, or my cousin comes, I can be more aware and understanding of what she's saying to me. And again, questioning people is really not fair, because your body tells you if you're violated. So people know when something wrong has happened to them. So we mustn't make people feel unloved and feel like they're not being heard when they open up to us. And we should actually, you know, if someone says, this is what happened to me, tell that person that, you know what, I'll accompany you to the police station tonight, today, tomorrow. Mm. We need to have, because we can't do it alone. We need to have people.
Someone, yes.
Is someone who say, Andiswa, tomorrow morning, tonight, if you want to go into the police station, and we need to hold people's hands because it's difficult to do it alone. So sensitivity, education, and more understanding. Yeah.
And I know we are about to wrap up the interview right now, but I think for me, this is the one question that, you know what, is really close to my heart, and I ask it with all the love that I have in my heart. Have you healed? Have you healed from what you've experienced, or are you still healing every day? Have you healed? And what are you willing to do? What are some of the things that you want to do as a gender-based violence survivor in our society to ensure that, you know, your fellow sisters don't go through this, your family members, your people in your community, people at your work, people at school? Have you healed? I think, firstly, have you healed?
I haven't healed. I am healing.
You're healing.
The fact that there was a time when I couldn't talk about this without bursting into a million tears. And for me, I'm getting close to my healing, the fact that I can talk about it and I'm not crying and I'm not emotional and I'm not, you know, I'm talking about it with confidence because I've forgiven myself, because victims blame themselves. So I've forgiven myself and I've learned to love myself all over again and told myself that it wasn't my fault. So I'm looking forward to my journey of healing, and me coming here is a form of healing for me. So I am healing, and it's beautiful. Sometimes it's not beautiful. Sometimes it's messy. Sometimes I'm sad. But every day I make a conscious decision. I look at myself in the mirror and make a conscious decision to love myself no matter what has happened in my life.
You know what, Andiswa, I think you are absolutely, absolutely amazing. I think you're very, very strong. You absolutely, absolutely brave as well, you know. And more than anything, I think you're really, really wonderful. And don't ever forget that. Keep being that activist and keep being the voice to the voiceless. And you know what, one day at a time, we will tackle gender-based violence. And more than anything, don't stop telling your story. Share your story with the rest of the world. You never know who you are helping. And you know what, or who's listening, or who's even watching you. But I think you are absolutely, absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us and taking time to actually just fill us in and let us in into your life. And know that we are always here for you. Anything that you need, we will definitely, definitely be here for you as the Urban Brunch, also as UJFM.
Thank you for having me, Fifi. This was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you so, so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, babes.
Thank you. Bye.
That was Andiswa Khona. She's a gender-based violence survivor, and she was just, you know, telling us about her story, things that she's been through, what she actually been through. And like she said at the end, I asked her, has she healed? And she said she's still healing.
I think it is a process.
I don't think it will happen overnight.
Yeah, yesterday I was watching on Instagram Busiswa's story, where she was telling this like a part one till three. And she was saying that gender-based violence does not discriminate. It does not go with color. It does not go with creed. It does not go with who you are, you're famous or not. It happens to the best of us. And so I like that she says she's still healing. It's a process. It's not something you just get over.
And that she's also being honest with herself. Like, yeah. I also like the part where she was saying that, you know what, as victims, sometimes we blame ourselves. We think it's our fault, you know. Yeah. Some will say you're wearing something too short. Sometimes you're just sitting at home and someone walks in. So what now? Because I was not wearing anything short. Yeah. But it was an absolutely, absolutely amazing chat. We're hoping to have more of these. And a big shout out goes to Campus Health for actually hooking us up with Andiswa Khona. We hope to everyone that was listening that, you know what, if you are going through gender-based violence, you're a UJ student, they're psyched, just speak out. Speak out, even if it means speaking to the securities. Mm-hmm. Just speak to someone and let's see if we cannot get you help or something cannot be done. But right now it's exactly 51 minutes past 10. On the other side of this, we are getting straight into our guest, the artist for today.
The Urban Brunch.
So if you are suffering from a hangover, many doctors actually recommend water with ginger or ginger tea, and it helps empty the stomach and speeds up the flow of food into the intestines, and this relieves nausea,
especially with alcohol being opened up. I think